Welcome to the ReGreen podcast. In this podcast series, we will explore the concept of nature-based solutions, the so-called NBS. The aim of the ReGreen research project is to accelerate the crucial transition toward equitable, green and healthy cities in Europe and in China by integrating nature as part of urban development. We will talk with experts from academia and businesses in the field to get an understanding of the international research, technologies and innovations, and the possibilities in a nature-based economy. Today's host is Marie-Yvonne Dalfeldt from Intergreen.
Hi there! Welcome back to the ReGreen podcast. Today, we will explore another urban living lab. As you might remember, there are 6 so-called urban living labs, or ULLs, as part of the ReGreen project. 3 ULLs in Europe and 3 in China. The ULLs are partner cities, representing the people and the kind of areas where nature-based solutions have been and will be implemented. They are places to test and develop our knowledge of nature-based solutions. In episode 2 of the podcast, we took a trip to ULL Aarhus in Denmark, and today we will take a closer look at ULL Paris region. To lead us in our discovery of the French capital and how they work to restore biodiversity, we have the pleasure of Marc Barra.
My name is Marc Barra, and I'm an ecologist by training. I'm based in Paris, in France, and I work at the Paris Region Institute, which is an environmental and urban planning institute. So I do projects in relation with urban ecology and solutions, nature-based solutions to integrate into urban planning, into architecture, and more generally into urban policies. And I also teach ecology and ecological engineering at university.
Thank you. So, what can you tell us about the Paris region?
Well, Paris is the capital city of France, and the Paris region, which is the ULL, is the capital province of France. So it's kind of particular in ReGreen, as other ULLs are cities, but the Paris region is a larger scale of study for nature-based solution. And this province is one of the smallest in France, but is the most populated province of France, with 12 million inhabitants. So it's almost 20% of the French population that live in that territory, which make it very dense in the Great Paris area. It's also the first economic region of France, a leader in European employment too, because it concentrates something like 30% of the French GDP.
What is the current political slogan of the Paris region? Is there a focus on greening and sustainability in the capital?
Yeah, you ask about the political slogan of the province, which is Paris region, source of inspiration. So it's a new slogan made by the current local government that aims at enhancing the attractiveness of the province, both for businesses and tourism. So the current government consider that a kind of green growth is possible to achieve by finding a compromise between building houses, building transportation systems, more businesses as well, while protecting the environment.
It sure sounds like there's a green political will in Paris. Which climate challenges is the Paris region facing currently? And how does it affect the everyday life of the citizens of Paris?
The first thing is about temperature. Of course, as other provinces, the Paris region should experience sharp increase in temperature and many heat waves by the end of the century. We talk about an increase of 2 to 4 degrees or in Paris. That means more hot days each year and more people and ecosystem affected by the heat. Some studies show that there is a difference of 8 to 10 degrees at night between the countryside and the inner center of Paris. And then the second challenge is water. The scientists say that we expect little change actually in annual precipitations, but stronger seasonal effects leading to flooding in winter generally and drought in the summer. The metropolitan area of Paris has experienced several floods in the past years, in 2016 and in 2018, which are caused not only by climate change, but also by the strong artificial areas surrounding Paris, including intensive agriculture areas. Yes, and as the city of Paris is densely populated and artificial, it is particularly vulnerable to the urban heat effect and the runoff.
Those sound like pretty grave challenges, with the risk of serious consequences. How do these challenges affect the biodiversity of the city?
Climate change does not only affect humans, it also affects other species. We know some species that are going up north because they couldn't find any more the good temperature in our province. Besides climate change, biodiversity is also changing and facing a strong decline. We have recent index that show that common birds populations, insects population, and some mammals have dropped in cities and in agricultural areas. So, well, this is global change, actually. Biodiversity and climate change are the two faces of the same coin. And there is an interdependence between the two of them. That's why nature-based solutions are particularly relevant, because they can address the climate change issue and the biodiversity issue at the same time.
Biodiversity in the Paris region is affected by rising temperature and changing patterns in precipitation and rainfall. Can you tell me a bit about the nature of Paris?
Well, there are some parks in Paris, like in other cities, some beautiful parks, some historical parks that are well known and famous, and also around Paris. Actually, we think that the Paris region is only urbanization, but it's actually there's the very dense and urbanized central area that we call the Greater Paris, which is of course dense, but it's surrounded by almost 50% of agricultural land and 26% of forest. So the whole Paris region, the space is shared between cities, between agriculture, and between forest. However, we have one of the lowest ratio of green space per inhabitant in Europe. So Paris is also famous for that. It's something between 2 and 3 square meters of green space per inhabitants, which is really low.
It sounds like Paris is in desperate need of nature-based solutions.
I mean, NBS is more complex than just greening. And restoring or creating ecosystems requires new academic skills and technical skills in ecology. So the collaboration between ecologists and engineers will be very important.
The advantages from the collaboration between engineers and ecologists are well known for the ecologist Marc Barat from Institut Paris Region, who is used to work with hydraulic engineer Eric Chanal from the SIA, Syndicat Mixte pour l'Aménagement Hydraulique des Vallées du Croul et du Petit Rhône. The Mixed Union for the Hydraulic Development of the Valleys of the Croul and the Petit Rhône.
So I'm Eric Chanal, Managing Director of the SIA, a public authority that gather 35 municipalities in the north of Paris. And the goal of this public structure is to restore two little urban rivers, the Croult and the Petit Rhône, and to build public strategies in order to improve the quality of these rivers.
Thank you. Can you tell us a bit about the first common project of CIA and Institut Paris Region?
C'est une coopération qui date d'un certain nombre d'années.
It's a cooperation that dates some years back and that found its foundation in the field through a scientific follow-up that we put in place on the wetland area of the Gonesse. We had created a site that very rapidly attracted many types of animals, birds and insects, and then we thought, considering the scope of the project, it was worth it to have a follow-up in detail on the ecosystem's concerns. So together with the Paris region, we put in place an annual scientific follow-up over several years in a long-term partnership, enabling us to complete very accurate estimations in terms of flora, in terms of fauna, in order to get to know our site, and in order to have the possibility to value as scientifically as possible the species we observe.
Very interesting. Can you tell us more about the work CIA does?
Nous travaillons sur deux grands axes.
We work on two legs. The first leg is the restoration of rivers, both concerning prevention of flooding as well as restoring biodiversity in wetland areas. On top of that, we also work a lot with sanitation. That's the second big competence of our syndicate. We have many rivers that are strongly damaged by outlets from sanitation that flow into the rainwater outlets. This outlet of wastewater into the rainwater causes big damage to the quality of the rivers. Today, to meet the goals set by the European Union when it comes to water quality, we have to work on both legs in parallel. The river as such, the prevention of flooding, the creation of wetland areas to support the flow of water and support the biggest level of biodiversity possible. Apart from that, the other leg is sanitation, which also helps improve the quality of the rivers.
How big is the aspect of biodiversity in the projects you undertake?
C'est important qu'un tel projet soit vraiment conçu dans son ensemble, dans sa cohérence.
It's important that such a project is created in its whole, in its cohesion, by this aspect of ecology landscape, and the hydraulic field benefits this global approach. In any sense, our experience shows us that it is important to attach weight to this aspect of ecology landscape, and as construction owners, we are the ones carrying this responsibility. They are living projects, and because they are alive, we need to know how they are alive. It gives us the possibility to anticipate problems that may arise, both of the everyday management, but also of problems concerning the balance, the equilibrium of the ecosystems in the area, and thus to have the possibility to intervene at the right moment.
You said, in the beginning of the interview, that Paris is heavily urbanized, with a very low nature ratio per inhabitant. Are the citizens asking for more nature?
Of course. Most of them, they're asking for less advertising on the streets and more trees. They're asking for less roads and more sidewalks, less parkings and more parks. So of course, if you go on the streets, I think it's the same everywhere, and you ask people what they want to see when they go out of their house. They want to see trees, they want to hear birds, they want to green space. And we know the importance of green space and access to green space. We have seen that during the COVID pandemic, that people living in small apartments without garden, they have suffered for that urban density.
That is exactly what has been said in all episodes of this podcast series so far, that the COVID crisis has boosted love for nature, especially in the cities.
So, well, that's one of the reasons that we take part in the ReGreen project.
So why not implement nature and nature-based solutions in every city? How come our cities are not greener already?
Là, aujourd'hui, tout le monde veut de la nature en ville.
Today, everyone wants to have nature in the city, but no one wants the disadvantages if you can even call them so. So it's not always that simple to get people to understand the principles of city nature.
What is, according to you, the most complicated when working with nature-based solutions?
Je pense que la plus grande difficulté, c'est de les faire comprendre.
I think the biggest difficulty is to understand them so that they can be accepted as they are.
So we still need to provide the efficiency about this nature-based solution, but it's starting.
In the last episode of the podcast, we talked about green roofs and the many positive effects of those. When most people think about Paris, they picture the Eiffel Tower. So, speaking of urbanization and little space for nature, could you make a green roof on top of the Eiffel Tower?
No. No, I think the Eiffel Tower should remain as it is. It's a historical patrimony, but it's a good question because there was a project about greening the Eiffel Tower. So I understand the symbol behind this and showing that we can green everything. But I think it's also a kind of mistakes as we have to protect a historical patrimony as it is, but give space for nature, of course, everywhere else, and kind of to find a mix between natural patrimony and historical patrimony.
Besides the Eiffel Tower, another famous site of Paris is the River Seine that flows through the city and the region of Paris. One might not think more of it than just a river flooding through the city, but actually, the Seine is one big, natural, nature-based solution, taking care of a lot of rainwater from the city. Despite the big river, however, it was mentioned that Paris is having challenges with water.
Nous, sur notre territoire, on a un réseau qu'on appelle séparatif.
In the central area of Île-de-France, in relation to sanitation, we have a separation of rainwater and wastewater. Theoretically, we shouldn't have wastewater mixed with the rainwater and vice versa. But in reality, we see private washing machines connected to the rainwater system, as well as gutters connecting to the wastewater. That means that when it rains heavily, we have bigger issues with the wastewater system because of the overflow caused by rainwater wrongly connected to it than we have with the overflow of the rainwater drains. It's kind of a paradox, but it very well illustrates the effects of sanitation on the restoration of the rivers. We make controls, but it's not always easy to get the citizens to respect the regulation. It takes a big effort, un travail de fourmi, as we say in French. It's a long-term effort, but it's very important.
Does La Seine have even more potential than just taking care of rainwater?
Au regard des enjeux de baignade sur la Seine et la Marne.
When it comes to swimming and bathing in the rivers of La Seine and La Marne, the stakes are very high. In 2024, the Olympic Games will be held in France, and in addition to bathing tourists, some of the competitions are planned to take place in the rivers. This question of connecting to the right drainage system has become a case of high priority over the next few years. The swimming is only a symbolic part of the project because if you can let the population swim, you have obtained a minimum of water quality, which will be highly motivational. It will create a virtuous circle. It will make it possible for these grand rivers to obtain a level of water quality that will make activities like swimming possible, but also to retrieve a life in the river. Today we encounter a bigger diversity in fish species than we have for over 30 years. We now reap the fruits of the combination of public as well as private efforts that have been carried on for a long time.
What will it take for people to be aware of their responsibility and connect their waste and rainwater drains correctly?
Je pense que toute la communication qui sera faite autour de la baignade, mine de rien,
I think that the communication that could be generated around the river bathing, considering what a public and big event it is, could generate an important change. The surrounding municipalities have to size the moment and translate it to an individual level. Then it has the potential to become a crucial changing point.
Paris region, like other big cities and the other ULLs, has its challenges. In ULL Aarhus, which we talked about in the second podcast episode, they were very pleased with the huge political will to green and sustainable solutions. It seems to be the same with Paris region.
Aujourd'hui, sur notre territoire, une énorme majorité des élus.
Today in our territories, a big majority of the people elected from the municipalities have the will to restore the riverbeds. First of all, from the water angle, restoration of the riverbeds and prevention of flooding, as well as the recreational value, tracks for pedestrians, bicycle paths. Taking into account the multifunctional dimensions of these projects explains why we have such an easy time to get our projects on river restoration validated. Today, all the elected officials want the same thing as we created in Sarcelles, in Gonesse, in relation to the reopening of the riverbeds, creation of wetland areas, creation of a nature area accessible for the public.
About climate challenges, biodiversity restoration, and city rivers. What is the big potential of the ReGreen project, do you think?
So I think one of the importance of ReGreen and European projects in general is that they have legitimacy and broad support for governments. So if we take part in that project, it can help us to widespread new ideas and give credit to our ambitions, actually. So yeah, it's an opportunity to show the stakeholders that NBS is not just a fantasy, that is serious, and that investing in NBS can be a win-win strategy for protecting nature and adapting to climate change and improving people's health and well-being.
What are your ambitions, your dreams, when it comes to sustainability and ecology?
I have many dreams. That's one interesting thing. When we work in ecology, we have mainly dreams. Because everything remains to be done.
Well, I'm definitely hoping for a swim in La Seine in 2024. And if it succeeds, I would say that Paris definitely is a source of inspiration. Merci beaucoup to Marc Barra from Institut Paris Region and Eric Chanal from SIA for sharing their stories about the Paris region. I have learned that rivers are not only great for a good swim, but that they also serve a purpose of preventing flooding, and that they at the same time can be a great source of biodiversity, if we let them.
This podcast series is part of the ReGreen Research Project, funded by the European Horizon 2020. Learn more at regreenproject.eu.